Women, we are beautifully complicated creatures. We want to love and be loved. We want to belong and be valued. We want to be heard. We want to be confident in our choices, even if we change our minds frequently. We want our lives to have impact and purpose, and to achieve the ultimate goal that when we take our last breath, we will have no regrets, nothing left undone. The key to all of this is freedom. Freedom from the insecurities, the fears, the shame, the doubt, and the lies. Freedom to walk in truth, knowing exactly who we are, to whom we belong, and the power we have within. You're tuning into the Gigi in Hawaii podcast because you are ready. Ready to find your freedom and live your best life now with no regrets. I'm your host, Noelle LeBlanc. Welcome to the show. Aloha, ladies. Welcome back. Now that you've heard a little bit about me and how I came to Hawaii, which I shared in the first episode, today I want to share a transformative experience that led me to where we are right now, me vocalizing this podcast so that you may hear God's heart, His story. So let's begin. After we arrived in Hawaii, things were lonely initially. With lockdowns and masks and quarantine, it took us a while before we made connections and found our church home. Thankfully, God led us right to a church where we were immediately embraced like never before. I eagerly jumped right into everything, attending small groups, women's ministry events, you name it, anything to build connections and to get to know the people. Eventually, I was asked to be the guest speaker at a women's conference titled, A Love Like No Other. Now, when the invitation was extended, my first thought was, why in the world would they want me to be the guest speaker? I've never done public speaking, and frankly, the thought was terrifying. Yet, there was this small voice that said, Noelle, you have something to share, and you can do this. So, I said yes. And in February of 2022, I spoke for the first time in my life to a church full of women and shared about God's perfect love and how He showed me this love on two very specific occasions. Today, I want to share that same message with you. But before I talk about my specific encounters, I want to talk first about two other women from Scripture. Remember how I mentioned in the last episode that God is no respecter of persons, that what He's done in the past for others, He will do again? This is an excellent example of that. I hope you will stick with me until the end to see how all the pieces fit together. So let's begin in the Old Testament with a woman named Hagar. This was a woman who was mistreated, abandoned, wounded, desperate, and afraid. Yet she was also deeply loved. Her story is found in Genesis 16:1-16, where we learn that Hagar was the Egyptian slave of a woman named Sarai, Abram's wife. Sarai was barren and decided that she would give her slave Hagar to her husband so that they could have children. Now, when Hagar becomes pregnant, she gets a little cocky, and Sarai, unfortunately, begins to mistreat her. So Hagar runs away and has an encounter with God. Beginning in verse 7, we read, "The angel of the Lord found Hagar near a spring in the desert. It was the spring that is beside the road to Shur. And he said, "Hagar, slave of Sarai, where have you come from and where are you going?"
"I'm running away from my mistress, Sarai," she answered.
Then the angel of the Lord told her, "Go back to your mistress and submit to her." The angel added, "I will increase your descendants so much that they will be too numerous to count." The angel of the Lord also said to her, "You are now pregnant, and you will give birth to a son. You shall name him Ishmael, for the Lord has heard of your misery." In verse 13, Hagar names God. She gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her, El Roi, which is Hebrew for the God who sees. Now, we see a picture of a woman in a no-win situation. She's a slave at the mercy of her masters, forced to become a surrogate mother and mistreated. She hoped her life would improve when she became pregnant, but she ran when things took a turn for the worse. True desperation when you consider she's technically a runaway slave, carrying a baby that legally belongs to her mistress. She's breaking the law and facing severe punishment. She eventually finds herself all alone at a well, defenseless, destitute, pregnant, and facing an uncertain future. I love the fact that God came to Hagar. She wasn't seeking him. She wasn't running to him. Yet, he pursued her and met her at that well, at her most desperate hour. He sent his angel directly to her, calling her by name, conveying that he loved her and she had not been overlooked or forgotten. God already knew her situation. He developed a plan for her, and although he asked her to return, he spoke words of promise and hope, addressing her greatest needs and fears, telling her that her descendants would be too numerous to count, and even personally naming her son. Do you grasp the significance of this story? This is the first time since Adam and Eve that God came to a woman. Up until that point, he'd only revealed himself to Noah and Abraham. Yet here he is meeting Hagar at the well. And in turn, Hagar, a woman, is the first person in the Bible to name God. So amazing. Can you relate to Hagar? Have you ever experienced fear and desperation, loneliness and rejection? Ever believed you were unworthy, unloved, unseen, in a situation beyond hope? Perhaps like Hagar at the well, you've wondered if anyone cares, wondered if God cares. I'm here to tell you, he does. But I've got more. The Samaritan woman found in the New Testament. Now she's a woman who was an outcast, rejected, scorned, and looking in all the wrong places for love and significance. Her story is found in John 4:7-26, which reads, "When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, 'Will you give me a drink?' For his disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, 'You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?' For Jews did not associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, 'If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water.' 'Sir,' the woman said, 'you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?' Jesus answered, 'Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again,
But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go, call your husband and come back."
"I have no husband," she replied.
Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you've had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true."
"Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem."
"Woman," Jesus replied, "believe me, the time is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the Spirit and in truth."
The woman said, "I know that Messiah called Christ is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us."
Then Jesus declared, "I, the one speaking to you, I am he." Now here is a picture of a woman who knows the sting of racism and sexism. She's been married five times and knows rejection and failure. She knows firsthand what unreturned love looks like. She's with a man who won't marry her, and she knows deeply what it is like to be an outcast and scorned. For you see, she goes to the well in the hottest part of the day when she knows that she will be alone and can avoid condemning eyes. Yet on this day, she's in for a surprise. God himself and his son Jesus is waiting for her. Jesus went out of his way to have an encounter with her. He knew she would come to the well that very day at that very hour alone. He showed her that he sees her. He knows her history, every tear, every bad decision, every misstep, every shameful deed, and he chooses her anyway. Do you grasp the significance of this story? Jesus picks someone considered insignificant, the most unlikely, a sinner and a woman. And she's the first to be let in on the secret that Jesus is the Messiah. She's technically the very first missionary. After her encounter with Jesus, she tells anyone who will listen that she met the Messiah, the one who told her everything she ever did. She's shouting it from the rooftops. Heck, she even forgot her water jar. The Bible tells us in John 4:39, many of the Samaritans for that town believed in him because of her testimony. No more shame, fear, or hiding. There's no more insignificance. She's doing the unimaginable. I love this story because it reminds us that even in our brokenness and sin, God loves us enough to forgive us, set us free, and gives us a mighty purpose. Can you relate to the Samaritan woman? Have you ever experienced shame, feelings of being unworthy, unloved, or that you don't belong? I can relate to both of these women. Just like them, flawed, broken, insecure, and afraid, thinking that my life would never be significant. Yet God showed up for me too. It just wasn't at a well. Instead, it was in my kitchen,
and at the garbage dump. So let me take you there. July 13th of 2016, God sent two teenagers to my home. Both were from a church in Florida and were traveling to Puerto Rico for a mission trip. And for some crazy reason, they were diverted at the last minute in the opposite direction and found themselves in Charlotte, North Carolina, with no place to stay for the night. And for the first time ever, my police officer husband, who doesn't let strangers in our home under any circumstances, agrees to let them stay for the night. So I come home from work to find two strangers in the house. But boy, that night was incredible. These young men were on fire for God. They boldly prayed over us, asking that our lives be radically transformed. And after they prayed, the older boy, Johnny, he humbly speaks up and he shares that when he touched my hand during the prayer, he saw a vision. A vision of me speaking to a crowd of women up on a stage. Now, my first response was to cringe and literally say, that's not me. This must be a joke because my greatest fear is public speaking. I'm a writer, not a speaker. But the more he spoke and described the vision as like a fire spreading to others, throwing off flames, I became intrigued. And then he questioned whether this vision meant anything to me, whether I'd ever thought about sharing God's truth with women. And at that moment, my mind returned to a women's conference that I had attended the year before. At the end of this conference, we were encouraged to pray and ask God to impart a word to us. And whatever that word was, we were to take this white stone that they had provided and write the word on it. And my word was spark. And I had indeed written it on that white stone because it was sitting on my desk. I had no idea what it meant at the time, but I paused and I ran and I grabbed the stone and I showed it to the boys. And at that moment, Johnny said that he believed that I would one day minister to women and, like a spark of fire, they would be drawn to me because of Christ. Hence, the tiny spark was born. Oh, from the mouth of babes. Now, let's fast forward to July the 9th of 2021. This time, God sent a woman from Hawaii named Darlene. She had reached out to me after one of our women's Bible studies, and she told me that there was something about me that she was drawn to, like a light, and that she believed God wanted to encourage me and that he had plans for me. Now, on this day, she invited me to go with her to a spot where in 2014, the lava eruption had stopped, saying God wanted her to bring me to that specific spot. Now, I agreed, thinking, I mean, why not? It's probably this beautiful spot overlooking the ocean. But to my surprise, we arrived at the Pahoa Transfer Station, the garbage dump. Now, God really does have a sense of humor, but you know what? He actually met us there. It turns out that I had to throw away some of my baggage at that dump, and I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. And right after we finished praying, we both noticed a child's pink plastic microphone. Like it was frozen, trapped in the lava flow, completely unmelted, like it was placed right there, almost preserved, as if it was waiting on me. And when I saw it, I immediately remembered Johnny's words. I had confirmation at that moment that God was speaking. He was telling me that he sees me and that he knows me. He is with me and he has plans for me.
So I stood on that stage 4 days shy of exactly 5 years from Johnny's vision in my kitchen with a microphone in my hand doing what I thought was unimaginable. And I was sharing with these beautiful women that God sees them, He hears them, He knows everything they've been through, and He's willing to meet them right where they are. And that's the same message I am speaking to you today. If He will meet Hagar and the Samaritan woman at a well, and me in my kitchen and at the dump, I am telling you, He will meet you too, because He longs for you. He longs to be gracious to you, to be in your presence. God is pursuing us. He's willing to meet us right where we are, no matter where that is. He sees us, hears us, answers us, and He is the one that makes our lives significant. Ladies, God chooses and calls us women to impact the world. We've just got to be willing to make room for Him, to be obedient to what He asks of us, like Hagar to return, and like myself and the Samaritan woman, willing to use our voices to share the goodness of God with others. He's got something special for you too. Let Him meet you right where you are. Mahalo for tuning in today. I hope this time served you well. If so, please subscribe and join me each week as we explore how we as women can rise to our fullest potential and walk in the knowledge of truth, where shame fades away, fear diminishes, and boldness emerges, rendering lives that freely thrive and shine. So let's level up, ladies. It's time to get brighter and glow for Jesus.